This meeting of the House Fishery Special Committee on Fisheries to order. The time is 11:20 a.m. Thank you for your patience with our delayed start. Members present at this time, Representative McCabe, Representative Vance, Representative Story, Representative Ortiz, Speaker Stutes, and myself, Representative Tarr. Please let the record reflect we do have a quorum to conduct business. We'd ask members to please silence your cell phones. Please pass notes via the committee aide in the back. We want to extend our thanks to Shannon McCain, our committee secretary, and Carson Walters from the Juneau LIO for their support. Thank you so much. As a reminder, the recording secretary is operating remotely, so we do ask members to identify yourself for the record when you speak. And because we have these new plexiglass pieces in place, we're asking everybody to speak directly into the mic so we can hopefully hear each other. And I wanted to just bring to everybody's attention as we got started that there was an email that came out from Speaker Stutes, and we've distributed it to everyone, but wanted to make sure we went over it together. So House Records is operating remotely this year, and I have a specific request for you and your committee aides. Directly before a vote to move a bill from committee, the chair must identify for the recording secretary who's voting via Microsoft Teams. As a reminder, a member voting remotely to move a bill, not an amendment, must be in their office. Members cannot vote to move a bill remotely from anywhere else, so hence the requirement to keep the camera on. It is the chair's responsibility to ensure that members are in their offices, not voting off-site. So then we for this process, I'm asking that committees sign the report directly after each vote. So just wanted to remind everyone so that we're all on the same page if we're participating remotely, and we're going to all make sure that everybody has access to voting, how we will do that. And just wanted the public to know that's what we would be doing as well. So thank you for letting me share that. We have one agenda item today, House Bill 28, and we are going to do the bill introduction, invited, and public testimony. This bill was introduced by Speaker Stutes at the beginning of the session, and then we discussed it and felt comfortable doing it as a House Fishery Committee bill. So that's what we're going to do today, is hear it as the House Fisheries Committee bill. Our Fisheries Committee aide is going to introduce the bill and walk us through, but Speaker Stutes is going to provide a few comments as we get started. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I certainly appreciate this opportunity and the indulgence of the committee. I just wanted to say to the committee, I certainly appreciate them in agreeing to make House Bill 28 a committee-sponsored bill. This bill was brought to my office by commercial fishermen from across the state. In 2018, the passage of the Derelict Vessel Bill added a layer of duplicative registration on commercial fishing vessels, requiring fishing businesses to register with the DMV to provide information the state already had through the vessel's annual licensure with the Commercial Fishery Entry Commission. And it's consequently unnecessary and burdensome to the vessel owner. So this legislation addresses that issue by exempting CFEC-registered vessels from the requirement to register with the DMV. Thank you, and thank you for that opportunity, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Speaker Stutes, for that introduction. And then we'll have our committee aide, if you would please come forward and do a little more of a walkthrough of the bill. And please let the record reflect that Representative Chris Tompkins has joined us at 11:23.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Speaker Stutes. For the record, my name is Thatcher Brower, and I'm staff to the House Fisheries Committee. Before I begin, I do just want to acknowledge that I have a commercial vessel that's licensed with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. While I'll not be voting on this bill, I just wanted to put that on the record as a matter of full disclosure. Now we'll begin walking through HB 28. It's an act related to the registration of commercial vessels and providing for an effective date. As Speaker Stutes said, this bill exempts active commercial fishing vessels from a duplicative registration requirement. It was largely created by the passage of SB 92, known as the Derelict Vessel Bill, back in 2018. As those of you who are in office in 2018 know, the rationale behind SB 92 was to provide the state and local municipalities with a state-maintained database as to who owned and operated vessels in Alaska waters, so that interested entities could contact those vessels if there was a problem. Those in this committee also know that derelict vessels are a big problem coastwide in Alaska. And at times, an owner can abandon a vessel because they can no longer afford to maintain it or properly dispose of it. an abandoned or derelict vessel, especially if it sinks, can sometimes cost millions of dollars to properly dispose of. If the owner of the vessel cannot be contacted or held liable, the cost is often passed on to the city or sometimes the state and federal governments. And that's largely why the derelict vessel bill was passed in 2018. Commercial fishermen also understand this problem and can pay the price if a derelict vessel sinks and pollutes an important fish habitat. However, when SB 92 passed and was put into law, the current registration requirements and also the requirements back in 2018 with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission were overlooked. Commercial Fishery Entry Commissioner Kelly will explain the Entry Commission in detail following my bill introduction, but I just want to make a couple of comments so that members, as they're looking at the bill, can understand why this is the registration with the CFSC is a viable alternative to the registering with the Division of Motor Vehicles, or DMV. Currently, commercial fishing vessels based in or operate in Alaska are required to license their vessels with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, also known as CFEC for short. This license is renewed annually and provides necessary ownership information in a publicly accessible database so that interested parties could find out who owns a certain vessel. Commercial fishing vessels are required to display their five-digit registration number on both sides of the vessel in 12-inch high, 1-inch wide numbers, so it's easily visible for enforcement. In addition, when they register vessels annually, they're given a triangular renewal plate that states a year of their renewal, so that can also be identified by the enforcement officer if they're concerned about a vessel not being registered. So what does HB do specifically? As I said before, it removes the current requirement for vessels licensed with the Commercial Fishery Entry Commission to also register with the Division of Motor Vehicles. Prior to the passage of SB 92 in 2018, U.S. Coast Guard documented vessels were exempt from DMV registration. And that is the vast majority of commercial fishing vessels. They're documented by the U.S. Coast Guard, which, as you know, it is a form of vessel registration that goes across the country and is recognized in the state. There are also undocumented vessels that aren't registered with the Coast Guard and are smaller vessels, usually under 5 net tons. So in the context of this bill, documented and undocumented are referenced in as having or not having a U.S. Coast Guard documentation. HB 28 does one more thing. In addition to removing the duplicative registration on larger vessels created by SB 92, this legislation also takes an additional step of exempting undocumented fishing vessels from registering with the DMV. And currently, undocumented vessels are required to register. And they were also prior to the passage of SB 92, to be clear. With this legislation, these vessels will still be subject to a titling requirement that was part of SB 92, and they will have to register with the Entry Commission. This bill institutes an annual $8 fee for all Commercial Fishery Entry Commission vessels, and this is in place of the $24 fee that the DMV currently charges vessels. And the $24 fee is for 3 years, so it's equivalent, and this bill will be cost neutral. As all of you on this committee know, commercial fishing vessels are the backbone of our state's vital industry, and it's the sponsor's intent, or the committee's intent, that these vessels are not required to register every 3 years with the DMV, only to also register with the CFEC every year. Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's a summary of the bill, and I'm happy to answer any committee questions or go through the sectional analysis.
Thank you, Mr. Brower. Any questions for our committee aide? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you. Just a broad comment, which is I voted against the original derelict vessel bill, partly because of concerns like this. And I wish that hadn't happened in the first place, but I'm really glad to see this follow up. And it's definitely going to relieve a lot of vessel owners of headache.
Thank you, Representative Christ Tompkins.
just very briefly say
Representative Ortiz.
For the same reasons. That's it.
Okay. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I concur as well. I've heard a lot of comments, a lot of burden trying to fulfill this additional requirement. But for the sake of public record, could you speak to the fiscal notes since there's in the bill a larger, an effective date that is in 2022 and there are projections of revenue based upon the fiscal note?
Yes, thank you, Representative Vance. Through the chair, the fiscal notes, there are two separate fiscal notes. One comes from the Department of Fish and Game, where the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission is housed, and the other comes from the Department of Administration, where the Division of Motor Vehicles is housed. First, I can point you to the Commercial Fishery Entry Commission fiscal note, and as you can see, in FY 2022, there's a revenue of $17,600, the reason for this difference is then as it goes up as the years progress, and the reason for that is that the way the bill is written, and I can go into more detail in the sectional analysis, is it's staggered so that somebody who has already paid their DMV registration fee does not have to pay for the say they paid for 3 years, they don't have to pay for the 2 years going out. And so then it looks like it'll be fully implemented by 2025. And then there is a question that perhaps we have representative from the DMV online, and we also have representative from CFEC online, and I still have a question about why the fiscal notes are different. As you can see, the DMV notes a loss of revenue, but it's a different amount than the CFEC thinks they'll take in. And my theory, and perhaps this can be clarified by both the CFEC and DMV representatives, is that perhaps at this time, since SB 92 is relatively new, some of the commercial fishing vessel owners have not started paying the registration fee. There's a fair amount of confusion. This version of this bill has been in play for a couple different years, and I think people thought that maybe the legislature would fix the problem, so perhaps they're holding off on registering the vessels with the DMV. And so that's my theory on why the fiscal notes don't quite match up.
Representative Vance, we do have Jeffrey Smits, the director from DMV, online, and then we're going to hear from Dale Kelly from CFEC, and I don't know if you want to ask either of them now or...
Just an explanation of the fiscal note for the public record, I think, would be helpful for the public who are watching.
Sure, that sounds good. Mr. Smits, why don't we start with you from the DMV?
Madam Chair, committee members, for the record, this is Jeffrey Schmitz. I'm the director of the Alaska DMV. With respect to the question on the fiscal note, DMV collects a fee over a three-year period. It's simple math on our part in that how many vessels we've had to register we have in our system divided by three. That comes out to be the $26,428. The bill proposes that DMV no longer be collecting those fees and that be transferred over to a different agency. So the fiscal note reflects a negative income of one-third of our total amount that we would normally collect over a three-year period for the next 3 years.
And then, Ms. Kelly, if you are available, and I know we're going to have you for invited testimony, but also if you, and in fact, maybe we could just have you answer this question and then your invited testimony would be perfect.
Madam Chair, absolutely. This is Dale Kelly from Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. And so the confusion, at least with respect to the totals, I'll take some responsibility there. What happened is the request for the fiscal note came in when the hearing was scheduled. And with the timeline, I put in a request to Department of Administration to know what numbers DMV was using, because that's what we used last year. We just based ours on their numbers. We didn't receive that until last Saturday, and we'd already submitted the note on Friday. And anticipated we'd probably have to adjust a bit when we saw the increase.
Any follow-up, Representative Vance?
So does that mean that we can anticipate an updated fiscal note?
Will we see an updated fiscal note, Ms. Kelly?
Representative Vance, through the chair, yes, absolutely. We'd asked for some direction on that, and it sounded like we were going to, it's a timeline issue for us in getting these numbers. The difference, I can tell you the number I used is probably, about 3,000. It's going to be relatively close, but we could certainly get another fiscal note pulled together and hopefully in advance for your next committee.
Yes, thank you.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we do have your presentation ready to go.
All right. I guess I'm on. So good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Dale Kelly, and I'm one of the two commissioners with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission. Today, I'll brief you, and my office is located in Juneau. Today, I'll brief you on Alaska's vessel licensing program. Now, I first want to say many thanks to Thatcher Brower for his assistance with the slide presentation. This is my first time presenting blind, so any fumbles along the way will be solely my own. Owners and operators of commercial vessels used by the seafood industry are subject to many state, federal, and international requirements. Each state and country handles licensing according to their unique needs. CFPC has licensed Alaska's commercial fishing fleet for decades and has amassed a significant amount of information about these vessels and their owners. It is our hope that CFPC's experience and extensive vessel database will be of assistance in helping the state achieve the goals and objectives of the Derelict Vessel Prevention Program. Next slide. All commercial fishing vessel licenses and licenses for tenders, floating processors, and transporters, all those vessels must be licensed annually by CFPC. However, some vessels are exempt, like those used solely at set net sites or in some of Westward Alaska waters. Fees for commercial vessel licenses are based on the overall length of the vessel as defined by the U.S. Coast Guard. A commercial vessel license consists of a triangular metal ADF&G numbered plate issued when the vessel is first licensed with CFPC. A color-coded sticker and receipt are issued each year. If a vessel owner is licensed for a salmon net fishing area, the vessel license will include an area tab specific to the fishing permit. Next slide. The agencies involved in licensing commercial vessels are DMV, CFPC, and the U.S. Coast Guard. Each has a unique responsibility under the law depending on the type of vessel involved. Either Coast Guard documentation or a state registration is required for all motorized vessels used in commercial fishing activities. Activities would include both fishing and tendering, and again, floating processing. The U.S. Coast Guard registers and titles documented vessels, and the DMV registers and titles undocumented vessels that require registration. Each year, CFPC licenses roughly 5,000 documented and 4,000 undocumented vessels. The Coast Guard requires documentation for any U.S. vessel over 5 tons that engages in commerce between 2 U.S. ports. Documented vessels are generally over 32 feet. Owners must prove that U.S. citizens own a 75% interest in the vessel and that the vessel meets all U.S. build requirements. Coast Guard documentation includes an abstract of title, which tracks the full history of the vessel. Undocumented vessels are generally under 5 net tons and less than 32 feet in length. These vessels must be registered and titled by the Department of Motor Vehicles. In order to be eligible for an annual vessel license, vessel owners must first provide Coast Guard documentation or DMV title and registration to CFPC. Next slide.
Ms. Kelly, we have a question from Representative Kreis-Tompkins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Commissioner Kelly, just on the undocumented vessel category, my recollection is that we amended SB 92 to include no vessels under a certain length. I want to say it was 22 feet needed to register with the DMV, and I'm just wondering if you could, or maybe Mr. Brower could refresh our memory on that.
Yes, Representative Christ Tompkins, through the chair, the vessels under 24 feet would be exempt under the bill.
Great, thank you. And just to confirm, that's presently the law. No vessel under 24 feet needs to register.
I believe that's the case.
Thank you.
Mr. Brower.
Through the chair, Representative Christ Tompkins, I'll get a clear answer for you in writing, but I believe that vessels under 24 feet, as long as they're motorized, are still required to register with the DMV, but they're not required to be titled with the DMV.
Madam Chair, thank you. I think clarification on that point would be, also if it's possible, maybe speak just a little closer to the microphone. I'm in the same boat as Representative McCabe. It's a little hard to hear you from the testifier chair, but I think that maybe if we can dive into that differentiation at a future hearing, that would be really helpful for me at least.
Sure.
No, I'll make sure I, through the chair, Representative Christ Tompkins, I'll make sure I provide a written response, but that's my understanding that they still do have to register as they're motorized, but they don't have to obtain a title.
Please continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as I think about my skiff, I believe that's correct, but it would be great if you'd get confirmation from DMV since we don't deal with those vessels. So vessel licenses must be renewed annually. The fees are based on the Coast Guard's definition of length. And with few exceptions, all permitted commercial fishing activities in state waters must be associated with the CFPC licensed vessel. Due to COVID-19, fewer vessels were licensed in 2020 than normal. 2019 provides a more typical snapshot of recent year vessel numbers. That year, CFPC licensed 8,806 vessels and took in over $629,000 in fees. Next slide. Let's see. I can't see, and there's a delay on the video. We should be on that screenshot of CFPC's webpage.
Yep.
Yes, we are.
And, thank you. I need a little. So this is a screenshot of CFPC's webpage where commercial fishermen and commercial vessel owners can access all CFPC licensing forms. Vessel owners have two options. They can download and submit CFPC licensing application forms, or they can apply through CFPC's online license portal, which we refer to as LEON. Next slide. And this just shows that there are multiple forms available to assist vessel owners with their licensing needs, anything from a change of information to securing duplicate licenses in the event the original is lost. Next slide. So the next three slides are simply to highlight various information CFPC gathers in order to verify vessel ownership. Both paper and online applications are signed by the applicant under penalty of perjury. The slide you should be on is a vessel license application, which will be followed by the fishing permit application. And then the final slide of this group is a screenshot of CFPC's online licensing system. I've highlighted those areas on each form that specifically reference vessel ownership. Whether the owner or an agent secures the vessel license, it is necessary for them to provide all the requested information to prove ownership. Next slide. So vessel information is also required on the fishing permit application. The name of the vessel is embossed on the permit card, which is not printed until the permit is associated with the vessel for the fishing season. It's not unusual for one person in fishing operation to own the permit and the other to own or lease the vessel. Next slide. So finally, the LEON online licensing renewal system requires the applicant to state whether or not they are the owner or agent of the vessel before they can even advance to the licensing documents. Next slide. So here we have a look at the various documents commercial fishermen and vessel owners might receive from CFPC during the annual licensing process. All permit cards and associated paperwork are color-coded every year for ease of enforcement. The permit card on the lower left includes essential information about the permit holder and vessel. It is used in making fishery landings. Again, note that a fisherman will not receive a card until the permit has been linked to a properly licensed vessel for the fishing year in question. The triangular shaped and numbered ADF&G vessel plate must be prominently placed on the side of the vessel. A licensing sticker is affixed to it as visible proof of current year licensing, similar to DMV's vehicle license and registration stickers. The vessel license receipt in the background includes key information about the vessel and its owner. If the vessel is used in a salmon net area, there will be a letter designating the permitted fishing area. If the license holder has a salmon net license for another region and wishes to change areas during the season, they must first contact CFEC and possibly ADF&G to work through a process to trade the area tag. Next slide. So this should be just a sampling of color-coded permit cards that we issue every year. Next slide. So CFEC developed and maintains a sophisticated online public permit and vessel lookup system. Using a few key pieces of information, you can find out a great deal about both documented and undocumented vessels. Note the tabs along the top, which will help guide you to select search options. In this case, we used quite a bit of information to search for the documented fishing vessel Ida Lee, who was owned by someone some of you might be familiar with. Note that the first search attempt will provide the information seen in the white rows on the bottom that begin with the year. If you click on the plus sign that prefaces the white row, it will reveal a drop-down box with additional information as seen in the blue area with the green circle. Data here includes vessel weight, engine type, whether the vessel has refrigeration, and other such details. Next slide. This slide shows a search for an undocumented vessel using only the owner's name. As you can see, a more streamlined search will usually lead you to similar arrays of information. Next slide. So for those folks who'd like even more information on vessels and owners, they can use the yearly downloads tab to obtain spreadsheets that can be sorted to meet specific data needs. Next slide. So in summary, with few exceptions, all commercial fishing vessels, tenders, floating processors, and transporters must be licensed by CFEC every year. U.S. Coast Guard provides registration and titling for documented vessels. DMV titles and registers undocumented vessels. CFEC requires both title and registration documents from the Coast Guard or DMV before issuing an ADF&G plate and annual vessel license. Next slide. Happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Kelly. I really appreciate that thorough presentation. Any questions? Representative Christ Tompkins.
Thank you. And this is maybe more for the chair or the committee, but I think it could be helpful at some point maybe to have DNR or ADF&G available to testify just to get a sense of where the fees are sort of going in terms of how they're solving the problem of derelicts. And I'm obviously really supportive of the bill, but I think I know I could benefit from sort of a refresh on how the money flows and how we're trying to solve the derelict problem.
Sure. Noted. We do not have the department online today, so I apologize. We won't have someone here who can answer that question right now. But Ms. Kelly, did you have anything you wanted to add to that question that Representative Christ Tompkins just had?
Thank you, Chairman Tarr, and Representative Grace Tompkins. The only thing I would add, since my presentation I was asked to specifically overview our program, but in terms of the funds, I want to make you aware, if you weren't already, that we already collect fees for the Fisherman's Fund as a pass-through, and so we are familiar with handling this type of a pass-through program.
Okay. Mr. Brower.
through the chair, Representative Grace Tompkins, I can add a couple of points to it, and then we can make sure we can have representatives from the Department of Natural Resources online next time. But it's my understanding that with the SB 92, the derelict vessel bill, the new tiling requirement for undocumented vessels is intended to go support the derelict vessel fund, and that's housed within the DNR but administered by the Department of Administration. And in terms of the vessel license fee, which has long been established for undocumented vessels and just newly established with SB 92 for documented vessels, that money has traditionally often gone to the Department of Natural Resources to the boating safety program, as well as other programs within the Department of Natural Resources. And as you know, as a legislator, there can't be a dedicated fund, so there's some flexibility in how the money is spent. But that's a quick overview of where the money goes.
Thank you. And we'll definitely get more detail on someone who can help us with that, if that's okay. Okay, we do have several invited testifiers, and we'll try to get through as many as we can. Mr. Schmitz, I did want to ask, since you were online, if you had any response to the earlier question that had come up.
Madam Chair, committee members, I'm not sure which question you're referring to. If you can refresh my memory, that would be great.
Okay, thank you. And I think it was Representative Christ Tompkins who had the question. Do you mind restating your question?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe just for the committee's reference, what's the sum total of fees that DMV has collected pursuant to passage of SB 92?
Madam Chair, committee members, I would have to check to find out what the sum total is and get back to the committee. I don't have that figure in front of me.
Okay, we'd appreciate if you could get that to my office, then we'll distribute that to everyone. Okay, I'm next going to go to Frances Leach. Ms. Leach.
Good afternoon, Chair Carr. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
I guess it's almost afternoon. Thank you so much, Chair Carr and members of the House Fisheries Committee. For the record, my name is Frances Leach, and I'm the Executive Director of United Fishermen of Alaska. We represent 37 commercial fishing vessel groups across the state, ranging from commercial crabbers in the Bering Sea down to commercial divers in southern southeast Alaska. UFA fully supports House Bill 28, which will allow vessels registered with the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission exempt from registering with the DMV. When the derelict vessel bill was first introduced, UFA was extremely supportive of it. Fishermen know all too well the problems caused by derelict vessels, as they're known for causing navigational hazards as well as environmental issues. We support the registration of vessels so that owners may be linked back to vessels in the case of abandonment. However, at the inception of this bill, UFA asked the bill sponsor that vessels registered with the CFEC be exempt from having to take this extra step to register with the DMV. However, that did not happen, so here we are today trying to fix that oversight. The purpose of this bill was to have a state-managed database to track vessel owners, and this is exactly what the CFEC already does. Commercial fishermen register their boats annually with the CFEC. Their information, such as their owner name, boat size, fuel carrying capacity, and many other details are all housed in a state-managed database. And as Commissioner Kelly mentioned in her presentation, vessels are required to display their registration sticker on the outside of their fishing vessels, which makes them extremely easy to identify. Requiring commercial fishermen to register with the CFEC and the DMV is recreating the wheel, not to mention making fishermen have to jump through more hurdles and pay more money. In closing, we thank everyone who's been involved in correcting this issue so that boat owners may be held liable for abandonment while not having to duplicate what they already do. And thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Ms. Leach. Any questions for our testifier? Okay, not any questions this morning. Thank you so much for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to Rachel Lord, Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. Are you there, Rachel?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thanks for taking my testimony today on House Bill 28. My name is Rachel Lord. I'm the Executive Secretary for the Alaska Association of Harbor Masters and Port Administrators. Since the late 70s, the association has connected harbor masters and port directors, engineers, fabricators, and many other marine support industries to maintain and drive our port and harbor facilities to the benefit of Alaska's economy and intermodal transportation system. Currently, we represent 43 ports and harbors around the state and over 60 companies from related support industries. From 2014 to 16, I was also the facilitator of the statewide derelict vessel task force, working with local, state, federal, and private stakeholders to address the issue of derelict vessels in Alaska's public waters. The task force's work was the underpinning of SB 92. One of the association's primary goals on this issue of derelict vessels is to work with the state to better track the ownership of vessels using public waters, similar to DMV's tracking of commercial and recreational vehicles and boat trailers on public roads. We don't desire increased tracking for tracking's sake, but to hold owners responsible for their boats. We know that active fishermen are responsible boat owners, but it's about what happens once they sell those boats and the vessel leaves the fishery. After a challenging rollout of the new registration requirements following the passage of SB 92, and understanding the frustrations of the commercial fleet that already has a state-level system with a similar annual vessel registration through the CFEC, the association supports efforts that continue to meet the goal of increased lifetime vessel tracking while reducing bureaucratic burden. We continue to stress that every working vessel will one day see an end of its useful life, just like our cars and trucks, but with an arguably higher public liability in cost and potential for navigational and environmental hazards. In an effort to balance that reality with a desire to reasonably reduce paperwork and burden, in the fall of 2019, our membership fully supported an automatic registration of CFEC vessels with the DMV, thus meeting both goals, reducing that paperwork burden on the commercial fleet while also maintaining a single tracking system for vessels over the course of their lives, both in the active commercial fleet and beyond. The association's board of directors have heard that there are logistical barriers to this concept of automatic registration. At this time, with this understanding and direction from our membership, we don't oppose House Bill 28 and will continue to offer our support and expertise to the legislature as you consider this and other bills impacting Alaska's public waters, municipal harbors, and maritime infrastructure. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lord. Appreciate your testimony. Any questions for our testifier? Representative Kreis-Tompkins has a question.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thanks, Ms. Lloyd, for all your work with the task force. I was curious, could you speak, since passage of SB 92 with the registration and titling requirements that are now on the books, have there been examples of how being able to trace derelict vessels back to an owner has resulted in liability or accountability? How was passage of the bill and these registration and titling requirements sort of like in real world application resulted in owners being held accountable for a derelict vessel that would not have happened prior to the passage of SB 92?
Thank you, Representative Kreis-Tompkins, through the chair. I would go to our board of directors and our harbor masters and port directors to get you some real-world examples. I don't think I'm the best suited to speak to that. I think that it's really a long-term. I will say, however, though, that I think that it is a long-term game here that we're playing because we are looking at the lifetime of these vessels. So there are a lot of old boats that are out of active fishing and are already, you know, they're already gone down that path. And I think this increased tracking and holding vessel owners accountable both while they're active and after that point is a long game and is the point of this, to be able to stop the hot potato from happening. The City of Homer just recently authorized over $100,000 to dispose of a large vessel abandoned here in our municipal harbor. Those are public costs that the public has to bear through our enterprise funds, and the story is the same throughout the state. I can certainly go to my members or go to our members and go to our board of directors and get you some specific examples, however.
Follow up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think the example you gave in Homer is exactly at the heart of my question. So why is it that the City of Homer paid for that, and what about, why is it that the owner of that vessel is not held accountable now that there's titling and registration requirements? I think that's the linkage that I really want to get at. There's no dispute about what the problem is. We all agree the problem is there. but sort of better understanding the tools that now exist and how effective they're being, both in the short term or, as you point out, in the long term, I think would be really illustrative and helpful.
Thank you. And Ms. Lord, then we would look forward to hearing from you if you're able to collect that from any of your members.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, we have just a minute left. I'm going to open public testimony. It looks like we have one testifier, Susan Doherty from Executive Director, Southeast Saner Association. If you're still there, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you this morning. My name is Susan Doherty. I reside in Ketchikan. I am the Executive Director for Southeast Alaska Saners Association, and I would just like to speak in favor of HB 28 and its intent to rectify the unintended consequences of the passage of the Derelict Vessel Bill. When the issues addressed in HB 28 came to light, it was a real compliance issue for a lot of vessel owners who didn't have DMV offices in their communities, or for permit holders living outside the state, trying to obtain proper documentation with DMV offices in coastal communities with restricted open hours was a nightmare for many permit holders. And at the same time, they're trying to prosecute their limited fisheries with very strict opening and closings to be able to come to town to try to get to a closed DMV office. All at the same time that the information that they were trying to obtain was already available through the CFEC licensing process. So really appreciate you addressing these concerns and being attentive to the needs of the Alaska fishermen. So I just really want to thank you and would encourage the passage of HB 28. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your testimony today. Any questions for our testifier? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. Thank you. I'm not seeing anyone else online that would like to testify, and I'm not seeing anyone in the room. So I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. We have run out of time today, but we are holding this bill over until Thursday, March 25th. Amendments are going to be due tomorrow by noon. Please, again, let us know with the 2 days. We're trying to have them do the 24 hours before, but if that's too aggressive, let us know. The next committee will be Thursday at 10:30 a.m., and we're going to be hearing continuing the budget work. On Thursday, we're going to continue with this bill, House Bill 28, and then we're also going to hear House Bill 41, Shellfish Projects, Hatcheries, and Fees. HB 54 on invasive species, we're just going to hold over so we don't try to put too much into that meeting and get through our budget work, and then we'll pick it back up when we have a little more time. So just as again as a reminder, we'd like to have amendments for HB 26 due tomorrow. Anything else to come before our committee today? Okay, thank you so much to everyone. Thank you to our staff at the LIO and to Mr. Brower for his great work today. We are adjourned at 12:03 p.m.